Music, industry talk, stories, equipment and more. We are Crossfader and this is Off the Record. Off the Record. Off the Record.
Hello, welcome back to this week's episode of the Off the Record DJ podcast. Does everyone still like the intro? Is everyone still feeling the scratching little off the record intro? That's been going.
I feel like something like a jingle like that is hard sticks. To replace.
It sticks with you. Off the record. I couldn't even hear it. I don't know that's what it says. Welcome back. This week has flown, boys, hasn't it?
It really
very
has.
Quick. Jeez, yeah.
Louise.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you out of 10 how we're feeling, but You said to me earlier you were too lazy to walk to Tesco.
Yeah.
I've just done a HIIT workout and you've not eaten for 3 days. So we've got varying levels of
different
energy
vibes going
on here.
Yeah.
Jamie, just finished another fast, haven't you?
Just finished another fast. It's my second 72-hour fast I've ever done. So I'm doing one every year.
Doing one a year?
One a year.
Was it this time last year? Something like that.
Maybe a bit later.
It feels like it was a year.
Yeah, so every spring, basically it was spring equinox yesterday.
What is that? Remind me.
Spring equinox is the balance between day and night.
So
it's halfway. Yeah, it's halfway through spring. And the length of daylight equals the length of night,
same day and night.
Okay, so yeah. It's this balance between, and obviously it's like going into Easter, going into the summer months, it's like this opening up, this expansion. Anyway, long story short, I do a lot of fasting, as in like 16-hour fasts regularly.
Same, yeah.
But once a year, I want to do an extended one, which is a 72-hour water fast for various reasons. For health reasons, do your own research, but also just like mental clarity for the challenge. There's a lot of different factors that go into it. So I'm definitely going to try and do it at the same time every year.
Nice.
And it was great this year. Really good. I think anti-climax when you get to the end because you've already done it before. But during, now I know what to expect. I could really like zone into the mental clarity
Is it 72 every time?
72, yeah. Every time we do it's 3 day water fast, basically.
Nice. Speaking of mental challenges, where are you going this weekend, Danny?
I'm going to Benidorm.
Oh.
What?
People haven't been to Benidorm. Just explain what Benidorm is.
Well, I've never been, but from what I know, it's like a seaside town with sun in Spain. Mm. I'm going for a friend's birthday.
Yeah.
It's not going to be a nice holiday.
Is it just like Brits have gone and taken over a portion of sunshine?
It has a reputation. It has a reputation.
There's a show you can watch about it.
But as far as I know, all the bars are called like Yorkshire Pride and the Red Lion, and I'm like,
it's
like home from Leeds, basically. Going somewhere that you know, but with sun.
Yeah, it's like your local pub on a beach.
Yeah, pretty much.
But you just got to lean into it. You just got to go two foot into it.
Do you know what though? It sums up British culture for everyone that's listening around the world, because we have basically like 9 months of winter and then 3 months, potentially, if you're lucky, you get a few weeks of sun here and there in those 3 months, if you're lucky.
Yeah.
So those 9 months, we all just complain about the weather. It makes sense why we've suddenly gone and taken over some little hot pocket of the world.
Yeah, what's the closest place I can get to that has sun? It's like an hour and a half away.
But it's so funny that they've not tried to make it like what the rest of the country is like. It's like, no, let's take what we've got here and put it somewhere where there's sun. Yeah.
All the Spaniards are non-existent in that area of Spain at all.
Yeah, I bet.
But you'll have a great time.
I hope
I'm going to Egypt, family holiday, totally different thing.
That'll be a bit better, I'm sure.
And then you're going to Florida. It's all going on.
It's all going on,
So just heads up, guys, the podcast will be all over the place for the next 4 weeks.
Yes.
It's just how it is.
Yeah.
People will be away, people will be in.
There's a reason, though. Look, we've worked very hard.
Yeah, of course.
For solid since the start of the year. We have doubled, tripled down to bring as much value as possible. There's been product releases, there's been loads of new courses that have gone live and all sorts going on. We're taking a week or two off at different times, all of us, just to recalibrate and then double down again.
I tell you about a podcast, though. I was watching a behind the scenes, you know, Stephen Bartlett's vlog.
Yeah.
And he was saying that he's starting like AI podcasts, testing out like AI podcasts.
Really?
And
I thought, letting the AI present the podcast.
Yeah, so basically coming with the topic, the voice and everything. So it'll research like the most listened to ideas or podcasts in the world. It'll create the script, write the script, schedule the posts, like everything. And it's basically going to test if that's any different to human interaction.
He shouldn't have told people. He should have done it. But and
I just thought for the next 4 weeks, that'd be ideal for us.
It would be ideal. Yeah. But it's the best things about a podcast are all the little things that come up that you haven't planned.
Yeah. Absolutely. And this isn't planned.
Is it ever?
Guys, welcome. If you are watching live, people always ask, and I forget to answer, we are live on Thursday at 2 p.m. British time, roughly. Every week, because some people always want to know when we are live. Thursday at 2 p.m. UK time. Not sure what that is elsewhere. But welcome if you are live. We always like to answer your questions. Get your questions in, whether it's about what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk a little bit about open format DJing, what it means to us, what it is, the techniques used, the definition behind it. Isn't everyone like an open format DJ because everyone plays a bit of everything? We're also going to talk about DJ responsibilities behind a booth as well, for with a bit of Reddit drama. And we're also going to add to your playlist. We're going to build your DJ library with our latest new game. Jamie's turn today to give us a few tracks, and we're going to rate them and add them to our playlist if they are good enough. So big news for Crossfader this week. Another course has arrived. Where's the cheers? Yeah, this is why we're all going on all day. The open format course is here. And I want to give a special shout out to Blakey for putting all the content together for us. Blakey's been on a podcast a few times. If you're in our email list, if you've got the course, you'll obviously know who he is by now. If you're on our email list, we've done some introductions and things like that, and he's been on the podcast, like I say. And a lot of people in this scene, in the culture, will know him for being like artist relations for Serato UK. Back in the day, he was a DMC champion, and he's just an unbelievable DJ.
I love that he made the routines for DJ Hero. Yeah. Proper throwback.
Made the routines for DJ Hero and Spider-Man. And you know what? And he's away next week.
Oh, yeah.
For a cooler reason than us all. Yeah. He's actually going to Taiwan to be part of the live show for the first Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse film, which is the like cartoon version of Spider-Man. So what it is basically they show a film live on stage, and there's a live orchestral band, and then Blake is the DJ, and he has done the scratch sequences in the scene, and he basically performs live with the band to the music.
Such a cool job.
Honestly, I was telling my 9-year-old about it. We watched the film this weekend again. Yeah. I was telling my 9-year-old about it, and you know, you're not. He didn't give me the response I wanted. He was a bit like, "Oh yeah, that's cool." I'm like, "No, this is like the best
you
thing."
Don't
ever.
Understand.
I know him. So yeah, the open format course is out there. We're going to talk about open format DJing, but the open format course is out there. It's about 60 lessons. Serato Record Box, and it's got all of our sort of usual bundle, all of our perks in there, which is free 3 months of beat source, Serato Record Box lessons, and yeah, it's got everything from mashups, wordplay, using stems, using the sample bank, creating DJ routines, which is like one of my favorite parts of it, building out DJ routines, making DJ edits. So it's all about the sort of turntablist culture, and mixing between genres is like the biggest reason. Like when we do sort of all our yearly polls, one of the top things people want to do is mix between genres creatively. It's one of the hardest things DJs do, and then you get into that sort of routine of just using echo out, or if you're a DJ that uses a mic, you talk drop a song. So there's so many creative ways. There's a whole section on transitioning between genres, and it's a truly open format course. It's got house, hip-hop, drum and bass, disco, pop, rock, like pop, like Spice Girls pop in there, mixing in with like 80s, Nirvana. 90s, like, some of the mixes are wild.
The beauty of it is that it's not just like we've had so much fun actually editing it, watching it, consuming it, because it's not just about, okay, how do we just achieve a transition from Spice Girls to a house song or whatever. It's not just like, how do we just make it work?
It's not just because.
How do we take these songs and actually do something creative with them that stands out and is unique, and it's fun and engaging. It's been really interesting to sort of watch along with his creation of it.
It's like kind of those transitions that like not just DJs appreciate. Like anyone can hear them and know that something really cool is going on, and it's like, oh, everyone can kind of like,
it's like those the wedding DJs you see that are popping off on social media. It's because they're doing clever, interesting transitions. Not just they're serving the right music to the audience, but they're doing it in a way that creates a crazy reaction from the crowd, because they can hook into what the skill is or the talent is or the uniqueness of that transition. And I think he's really encapsulated that well in the course.
Yeah. Mm.
And it's quite good we get to review our own courses, but because someone else has made we're all pumped about it.
And like I said, it's taking them to the club. Like you say, it's not just, okay, yeah, this is cool. And you can use it for your social media to promote yourself, but it's actually like in use case of the transitions. And it's not just like, okay, do this transition to that transition. It's like, why, the reason behind it and everything like that. And then he goes deeper and deeper into like showing you extended mixes using these. There's one on YouTube right now, which is absolutely flying on YouTube, which we posted last Sunday. So just type in Crossfader Open Format Mix and it is on there as well. So yeah, great introduction to Blake here. And he's going to be doing a lot more with us. You'll see him about. He's going to be on next week's podcast. No, the week after. He'll be back on the podcast in a couple of weeks. Yeah.
He's already working on some updates to another course. There's going to be some fresh stuff coming there as well.
So let's talk about open format DJing. I think that we can all sat here class ourselves as open format DJs. Yep. That's whether that's taken a turn, whether you know you started as a DJ and ended as a single genre DJ, but we've all played in student venues, we all played in bars, weddings, festivals. What were the reason for you to initially, were you initially getting into DJing to be open format, and did you love all music, or did it come was there a gateway to it and then you thought, actually I need to be playing more stuff because I need more gigs?
I kind of got pushed into it from my first ever gig that I had, my first residency. So all I wanted to do was play house. That's all I was bothered about. It's the only music that I downloaded. And then I got a gig at this bar and he was like, if you just played R&B you get people singing and dancing. I was like, oh, like kind of give him like a different sort of like perspective on it. So then I went and just downloaded a load of R&B and he was like, if you want to keep this gig, you're going to have to play this sort of music. So I did it. And then I feel like it just opened up my DJing completely. Like it just changed the way that I mixed, changed the way that I thought about DJing. And, you know, obviously getting a reaction from people to like pop music and R&B rather than just dance music and house, you know, it's like kind of helped a lot.
For me, I actually started when I was like 14 years old. I'd never been to a club. So I started mixing a lot of grime because grime was huge at the time when I was a kid in high school. Yeah. But then eventually when I started going out to clubs, slightly underage here in the UK, like 16, 17 years old, I realized that I couldn't just play that if I wanted to DJ in clubs. I was like, right, there's a whole other world here of like commercial music. And at the time it was like electro and dance. So I started not even downloading it. I think I must have to buy CDs at that point. So it was on CDs. So I moved to just experimenting with other genres as in like what was popular at the time, thinking, okay, I need to be able to play this stuff so that I can hopefully get some gigs.
Yeah.
So that kind of led me into it. And then it really, as I ventured into that, I was like, this unlocks a lot of creative potential for me as a DJ. Yeah. And I think it was the move when I realized what Serato DJ was and got Serato Scratch Live, the box. When I discovered that, that just opened the world to open format mixing for me. Before then, I was a bit more in a box and like played certain genres. After that, it just opened up these possibilities. I was like, right, I can jump around songs, hot cues really easily. I can, you know, loop things all on the fly and it's just much easier.
Yeah.
And that really ignited something in me. And ever since then, I've always approached, you know, even if I'm playing a specific genre, I still think of it from an open format perspective in a way.
Yep.
Because there's so many techniques you can apply into even just a one genre set that come from the open format world. And it just, it allows for so many challenging possibilities. So, I kind of got forced into it a little bit as well, but realized I actually loved it.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, similar to you, Jamie, I was playing R&B hip hop only. And I managed to get like a good selection of residencies quite early on. And the reason for that is because when I started going through in the scene was R&B or hip hop was always room two of every club. It had a bit of a negative look on it. It was like, okay, put R&B in room two, smaller room. And then the main room is like a bit, you know, open format or house or whatever the latest, you know, trend is.
Yeah.
So as I was playing in smaller rooms, it was like, it was good because I was playing music I love, but I'd always go into the big room. I'd be like, oh, how do I get up there? Do you know what I mean? It wasn't necessarily like, oh, that DJ's getting paid more or anything like that. I was like, right, where can I go from here? Because all of these R&B clubs are putting me in a room that's got 60, 70 people in.
Yeah.
And then this big room, the main room's got like 1,000 in. How do I get there? So that's when I started experimenting and trying to, and like you said, as soon as Serato came about, that was a big shift because it was like when we would buy music, buying vinyl, buying records, downloading individual tracks, you couldn't just spend that much money on, you know, the latest top 10 dance tracks as well as the latest top 10 hip hop tracks. It's like impossible. Like you wouldn't make any money. So definitely when Serato came and we could expand our music library digitally, that was like, ah, okay, yeah, let's start playing with this. And then not only that, it was a bit more like, as sort of culture grew and like iTunes came through and people's music taste got more diverse, it was more like I was playing in the R&B clubs, but then started to play a little bit of like house or like dubstep came into it a little bit. You know, you mix like Dead Prez hip hop into it, and then try a little couple of dubstep tracks out and all that kind of thing. So, I think it kind of goes back to that thing of like open format DJing is about like reading the crowd and trying to keep the crowd, which is different, a little bit different from a specific genre DJ who has to sort of cater to that one selection, or if you're a house or a techno DJ, whatever, you've got 2 hour set, you don't necessarily have to focus on the crowd as much. You know they're there for techno. You know what's kind of going to go off, what isn't.
Yeah.
But if you're an open format DJ,
there's so much freedom.
Every track is important.
Yeah.
Freedom is. Yeah.
That's the thing. It's like playing like a house night to having an open format night. You're just suddenly in this mindset of like, right, I can take this anywhere I want.
Yeah.
Like do whatever and just have fun with it. Like it's so much more fun, I think.
Yeah. Just bringing the comments in here, it's really interesting because Mixmaster G said, in my book, James Hype is currently the technically most skilled DJ. There's like a conversation going on in the comments.
No, I love
technically
that.
The most skilled DJ. And also when it comes to knowing its track history, and then Scratch Bastard, Jazzy Jeff remain my favorite of all time. Yeah. But just going back to that. So James Hype was an open format DJ. He was a resident DJ around the UK in your local bars and clubs.
Yeah.
He did the resident circuit playing hip hop, R&B, Spice Girls, whatever needed to be played.
Yeah, yeah.
He doesn't do that now.
No.
But if that,
you listen to his tracks.
Yeah.
Ferrari's got a P. Diddy sample in it.
Yeah.
Like, do you know what I mean? And if you didn't know that music, you wouldn't be.
He definitely lends that history of that knowledge of playing those gigs into now his headline shows.
And
that's what's given him those skills and that adaptability and be able to get people to be like obsessed.
Totally.
Because, it's that double layer of the skills, the knowledge, but bringing all of that knowledge from all the history of like various music genres and mixing styles from having to play all sorts of different styles all into one all-encompassing set. And I think that's the USP. It's what has defined that unique part of who he is as a DJ.
You look at the Beatport top 10, it always has five tracks that have got an R&B sample in or a disco sample in. Like it's I think people's music tastes have forever been wide and varied, but you know, being an open format DJ is a bit more like you do have to, I'd say that music selection is so varied and you've got to keep like your eye across everything, which is challenging, and that takes up like a lot of your time, like seeing what the trends are in all the different areas. It's becomes a bit easier now because, you know, you've got Spotify playlists for everything, which you can kind of go and do research. But if you really want to make your set your own, it does rely on you sort of being in a little bit of every culture, which isn't easy.
I wrote an email about this. Gone out in our email marketing to do with the course, but I might as well share a bit more about it. So think about it. You know, there's streaming now and there's thousands of DJs. So there's thousands of DJs that have access to millions of songs. They can go on top 10 playlist and there's nothing stopping them from playing those top 10 songs. Same as the DJ next door, as the DJ next door's DJ next door. That wedding DJ, how is that wedding DJ different to this other one?
Yeah.
You know, they're being asked to play a certain range of music. They can play it. They can do some basic mixing or echoing out or just faded mixing. And that's great. But so can thousands of other DJs. Yeah. So this idea of open format mixing and actually starting to get creative with music that you have to play because you're trying to please a crowd, you know, you're an event DJ or you're a bar DJ, a club DJ, and there's a crowd there that you can't just go off and play exactly what you want for the whole night.
Yeah. Yeah.
Probably 90% of the night is serving them.
Yeah.
So how do you stand out from the DJ next door? And by doing that, it then shows that you're capable of bringing the crowd on a journey, even with the same music as the next DJ. And I guarantee, what was the line I put in it? I wrote a line, I was like, I'm proud of that. I think it's when you go from just playing the music to performing with the music or something like that or go from just...
Yeah, it's almost like being a robot to like being like the creator, like, you know, it's controlling what people are dancing to.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
You're not just going to be like an operator of the equipment and the music. You're going to like engage with the music and do something creative with it. I can't remember the exact line, but anyone that's in our emails will hopefully have read it.
Yeah.
But it just goes back to that. It can become like a superpower, even if you don't want to be an open format wedding DJ for your whole career. the skills that go into open format DJing, again, I would use over and over again in all different types of sets. And yeah. I think they're just invaluable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it opens up like opportunity as well, especially, you know, early on, if you're coming through, you're playing R&B, hip hop, that does initially put you in like a niche.
Yeah, because how many bars and clubs need a generic DJ? Yeah.
This is the thing.
Versus a specific niche DJ.
And this is the thing. There's two ways, because there's almost like levels. So you come through playing a specific genre. Then you realize, actually, the opportunity, if I open up my horizon and start playing open format, is very, very varied. Mm-hmm. But then you can have a really good, solid career being an open format DJ. But I found this myself a little bit. It then comes to a level where you're playing, you've got all the gigs and you're doing really well. Right, how do I get to that next level?
Yeah.
And then what I found was the people that break through that next level then start to niche down again a little bit.
Yeah.
Because it's hard to be known for that, for playing everything, because a lot of people play it. So when I was doing like my videos back in the day, when I was like touring the country, I got an agent. I was like, okay, what? I was basically getting shunned from a few festivals that I thought I should play at. So I'm looking at the lineups, and I'm like, well, Creamfields, I need to be playing like bass or house. If I want to be playing at Bass Fest in Sheffield, I need to be playing bass. So I started playing a bit more bass and UK bass line, which wasn't like my forte. It was just trendy at the time.
Yeah.
I could play it. I could make content about it. And then I started getting booked. I got booked at Creamfields. I got booked at Bass Fest and various other ones. But then I just got to a point where I was like, I don't like this music. Like, I was just all of a sudden.
I think there's a great lesson in that for the listeners. Is that there's opportunities to make a career out of something, but you might not love it for the long term.
Yeah.
But you can utilize trends to actually like boost yourself up, you know, within a certain part of the industry.
Yeah.
But just recognizing it and going, actually, I don't love this music. And if I do want to niche down and become more of an artist, like, what is the music I love and where do I want to go with it?
Yeah.
There's always a fine balance. Yeah. And I think this is where there's that tipping point. You go from being a full-time working DJ to be a full-time working DJ. 90% of the time you're playing, you know, open format sets and playing to generic crowds. Mm. Then you want to keep earning a living off DJing, but you don't want to do that same job.
Cool. Yeah.
So you have to then start thinking, naturally, like, I need to become an artist because that's where you can niche down. Yeah. If you're releasing your own music, you become an artist and you tour as a DJ and play your own music as well as other people's, and that then hopefully helps you retain the wage and the income that you're receiving, and you switch it from being the working club DJ to the artist DJ. But that is a hard transition.
Big time.
It is a very hard transition.
Yeah.
Something, again, going back, James Hype did really well. And there are other DJs out there that managed to do that. But I think having that foresight and knowing that at the start of your journey is very valuable, because if you can start producing bits of music and, you know, getting used to maybe making your own little mashups and things, then that will help you out when you come to that point in your journey where you're like, I don't want to be the working club DJ anymore. Yep. I want to go to the next step. Maybe you do, you know, there's some DJs that absolutely love that and it's great. I wouldn't want to be an artist. I'd rather be like a working club DJ that gets to be creative with popular music.
Yeah.
That's what I would rather be.
Mm-hmm.
100%. Exactly what I did as well. I think there's a lot of just fun shit you can do as an open format DJ. Yeah. So there's a video coming out on our channel on Monday, which again Blakey has done, which is like 5 ways to mix open format. And some of my favorite ways are, well, we'll go through them, but like sample switch ups are great. I've started doing
so
this,
much fun.
Started doing this a lot lately. And there's always a tune that'll come out, like, remember like when Afraid to Feel came out like a couple of years ago, and I'd play the disco version, or like Diplo on My Mind was like an R&B song, and it would be like, a garage set, I'd just stop, I'd play the R&B song, and everyone would be like, what is happening here?
Yeah.
And then you get to the,
when they realize,
On My Mind, and then you mix it in, and like, that you can't really replicate that anywhere.
Yeah.
It's a bit like, you know, when you see them, like troll videos. Remember when Turned Down for What was big, right?
You know,
you'd hear it drop into like George Michael and stuff like that. Yeah. Like that shit you just can't do in a more serious, like, you know, like specific genre.
There's like an element of fun to open format that no other genre or mixing has.
Yeah. Shout out, you love Four Colour Zach.
Four Colour Zach, I swear, he's my hands down favourite DJ of all time. Four Colour Zach, he just has so much fun with it, and he makes it cool.
Yeah, he posted this weekend and it was like, I don't know, Spice Girls or something wild, and I'm like, this going off.
Yeah.
But there is so much fun you can do. Yeah, sample switch-ups is basically, yeah, taking a original sample of a song. Every 99% of songs are samples, like literally. Yeah. So taking the sample of a song and then playing it. So, you know, every month there'll be a new track that's popping as big. And you can just go on whosample.com, which is a great website, which we always recommend. Yeah. And they'll show you the sample. And then often it's been sampled 3 or 4 times. And then you can really take somebody on a journey.
Make a little mini routine.
So there's a lot of sample switch-ups in the latest open format course. And again, like I said, there's a tutorial coming on Monday. There's also like themed mixes. So you can pick different themes. You know, you can obviously do like years, you know, noughties, noughties, 90s, etc. You can also do like themed, like birthday. That's a standard one. Somebody's birthday in a club. There'll be DJs watching this now saying they'll always have a little routine for somebody's birthday. Yeah. The standard, you know, 50 Cent in the club.
Yeah.
Well, like, you know, all the usual birthday songs. There's always DJ tools like bricks and stuff that you play out for somebody's birthday.
It's cool though seeing Blakey put it together in the course where he's actually like done it super creatively. It's we'll play this tool and this edit back to back. It's like the way that he's combined them just makes it again unique. Yeah, you know, beyond what if you could just download all those birthday tools and birthday songs yourself from record pools. But taking it a step further, which is really cool.
Yeah, there's like, you know, Halloween, like Valentine's, Christmas, you know, when all these things come around, there's always DJ routines online that you see, don't you, with all these themes in there.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of that stuff in the course as well, like how do you put them together creatively?
Yeah.
Something that we get asked a lot. There's also like advanced mashups as well. So, you know, with stems being such a big thing, there's a lot of stems in there doing creative mashups. But again, anyone can put an acapella over an instrumental, but it's like, how do I play a track, add a vocal, change the genre mid vocal, and then come back in? So there's all of that kind of stuff going on in there, which is amazing. So loads of that stuff, and then building just the DJ routines, I think, is a big one. There's a Red Bull 3 Style used to be the big one, which really used to love watching that.
Yeah.
And there's the Goldie Awards. Yep. There's the legendary DMC Championship, and they all differ slightly.
Yeah.
But anyone who's into that routine-based DJing, like Blakey is a former UK DMC champion, so it comes from that world. So there's a lot of creative elements to get in there. And like I say, we've enjoyed just consuming it, haven't we?
Absolutely.
Yeah, here there's proof in the pudding. Someone just said... Let me just move the comment up. While I started DJing, I loved EDM and only played that to learn. Then I realized that I needed to play a wider variety of music and started getting more gigs. Yeah. Now I'm getting into producing and my mashups.
Yeah.
Boom. Exactly.
Exactly.
That.
Yeah. Good way to go about it. You get settled, you get a few gigs under your belt, and now you've got some more time in the daytime to focus on that. Okay. What's that next level for me?
Yeah.
You know, am I doubling down on this open format thing? Do I see myself as an artist? You know, do I prefer one genre a little bit more and I can focus on that? But I think you will find yourself a few more gigs.
I think it's like a guarantee to get more gigs, definitely. Yeah, I think a lot of people would be surprised that not that many people, or not as many as you think, are actually open format DJing. Yeah. I remember a promoter saying to me years ago, it's like the reason why we as an event company book you so much is because there's not many DJs that are willing to play everything.
Yeah.
And that's always kind of stuck with me. It's like, oh, yeah, you're kind of right. Like people tend to go into these niches.
I think there's an ego thing involved as well. Like what I mean is, it's either for me now, it's I still can't play certain songs. Like I can't play a Taylor Swift song.
Yeah,
I just can't.
I think that there is,
but that's
extent.
A little bit of it. Do you know what I mean? There's certain tracks that I just can't bring myself to play in a club. But that will stop people from getting booked because you want somebody.
But
who
would
play
you play
everything.
The banger remix, the Fortet version?
I think it like it's like going back to the Four Colour Zach thing. I think it plays into your character as well. Like if you're like a serious DJ, like you've got really serious press shots, and like you create that image, I think you do have an ego about it, and you won't want to associate with it. But if you're fun, make fun of it, then I think it can definitely work.
Nobody's listening to this now because Taylor Swift packed us.
But think about it, right? Music provides enjoyment
for the
world, okay? And the beauty of people is that we all have different preferences.
Oh, yeah.
And the beauty of a DJ is that you get to tap in and provide that experience for all those that variety of people.
Yeah.
You get a much wider variety of people at your bars and clubs and open format spaces. And by leaning in and going, I am going to play a Taylor Swift song because 30% of this audience are going to love it. Yeah. I'm going to do something creative with it that switches into what the other 30% of the audience love, maybe some house track or dance track that's currently popular. And by doing this, you know, back to back to back to back, the crowd are feeding off each other. So 30% at this side are feeding off the 30% on the opposite side, and it's bringing the crowd together. Even though they love different genres, your ability is bringing that crowd together, which is like that beautiful moment in an event.
So yeah, I think you would be more of a successful open format DJ if you don't have an ego whatsoever. You know, certain people that just won't play a certain type of music, and that'll you know stop them from getting certain gigs. I remember when I, you know, very, very young, maybe like 18, 20, 19, 20, getting offered early wedding gigs, and I'm like, why would I play a wedding? Do you know what I mean? And then you realise actually people at a wedding just, you know, just want to hear club music, a lot of them. I think if you can like leave the ego at the door, it allows you to be a better open format DJ and just enables you to say yes to a lot more things, which will probably stand you in good stead as a career. As we were talking about, when I was talking about, you know, when I started in like R&B hip hop clubs, I used to get a bit of a bad name. And when we get into some Reddit drama, now we'll follow on from that.
Right.
Let's go.
Reddit drama, it's all over the place. People arguing, fighting, all up in your face. Reddit drama. Reddit drama.
Right. Reddit drama. What have we
Reddit
got?
Reddit drama.
Week?
Snoop Dogg. Okay, so this is from, again, if you didn't hear last week, I am going to start naming the people on Reddit because I've realised you all watch, which absolutely terrifies me. shout out to Cam Nett. This is a great one. It's a bit of a long, so strap in, but it sort of brings to light at what point does a responsibility stop as a DJ? But I'll read it out. So, hello, everyone. I'm a DJ on the East Coast. I started a year and a half ago and went through the ranks. The main gig was at a college bar, which turned into a club on certain nights, and this gig is through a company. The college bar is located smack dead in the city, so we have both college kids and local adults. A bit like a student gig, this, isn't it?
Yeah,
you know,
sounds
in,
like
in
it.
Town on a weekend where you've got students coming through, mixing with locals, always a tough...
Dangerous.
Tough crowd. Well, tough to deal with crowd.
Absolutely,
The gig is 8 till 1, 8 p.m. till 1 a.m., college kids usually get there early and leave around 11 and locals start coming in. Me personally, I play for everyone. I play all types of music from house, pop, EDM, country, sing-along and rap. Unfortunately, in January, a lot of people have started fighting towards the end of the night. Now, I'm one of the top DJs on the main street, very popular with students and locals. Unfortunately, I had consecutive fights towards the end of the night. I played Love by Keisha Cole, which is like a slow R&B song. Long story short, 2 weeks ago, there was a huge fight and the bar was fined. The management and even my boss blamed me, calling me a hood DJ. They explained my style and the fact I play rap that I'm a hood DJ who attracts the wrong crowd. Even worse, they agreed that I need to take the blame and fall on my sword. It hurt. I was pretty upset. I played R&B and sing-alongs for an hour, yet still the fight happened. When I look back at my playlist for those weeks, I played more pop than rap. The other DJ played more rap. How would you guys go on about this? I feel like I'm being attacked because I'm the only black DJ who's playing urban music and getting people who like that music. I felt like my boss didn't have my back.
Yeah, I feel for you in this.
Wow.
That is...
Yeah.
It's deep.
It's deep, but I mean, everyone's had a fight at a club, right? First of all.
Yep.
And it doesn't matter what you're playing, by the way. What you're playing. But yeah, going back to when I was coming through, hip-hop had a bit of a bad name. Like, I remember when UK rap was blowing up and gigs started coming through, like Talking the Hardest, and you wasn't allowed to play that. I wasn't allowed to play like DMX.
Yeah.
And then even like dancehall stuff like Beanie Man, I was like not allowed to play that. And then obviously as hip-hop grew in popularity, and it's probably like the biggest genre in the world now, you can play anything. But it didn't matter what club it is, there was always a fight. And I used to have a Tuesday residency, which is a hip-hop R&B club, and it started getting known. It had to change its name a couple of times because it just had the wrong crowd.
Yeah.
And it was always just like the same dudes fighting. but it is, where does the responsibility lie? Because, you know, if just because there's a fight in a club doesn't mean the DJ has incited it. However, you can incite it.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
There's times where I've had to calm crowds down. I've had to get on the microphone and literally be like, you need to stop.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'm going to be told to stop this music. Yeah. Like, and just called it out.
Yeah.
But that's a good tool as well because you get everyone on board on your side.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's like, look, I know we're all having a good time. I want to carry on playing some Skepta, yeah. Right? you guys need to chill. Because there'll be mosh pits and stuff, which isn't aggressive, but it's that, it's like the borderline, isn't it? Where clubs don't like that happening.
Yeah.
And you do need to put a pin on it. You don't have to get in the mic. You can just pull it back.
The fights that happen related to music is usually creating too hype of a crowd where you've got people that aren't really bothered about dancing and being in that environment right in the middle of the dance floor.
Yeah.
Then there's people enjoying themselves, like maybe being a bit too crazy, bumping into, getting in the way of the person that doesn't want to dance on the dance floor. Mm. And then they're like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, gets angry. And there's this thing of like, well, you know, maybe stand off the dance floor potentially.
Yeah.
You know, it can get too hype sometimes.
Yeah.
But I've been there where I've looked around, I'm like, where is the security?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
No matter what happens here, where are they?
Yeah.
There's like, there's two on the door and then nobody on the dance floor. Like, people are on the dance floor.
Yeah.
And so where does the responsibility start with the DJ and stop with the DJ and start with the venue?
It's really tricky with that Reddit though, because it does sound like it's way beyond just.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's much more targeted. Well, I really feel somebody for
just,
that DJ.
Yeah, somebody
really
just thrown, like throw past the book at it, right? It's it can be a joint thing where, you know, you're playing the wrong music for the wrong crowd.
Yeah. I think if he was doing something to not try and help the situation, then maybe calling him a hood DJ would be sort of reasonable. Yeah, but I think if you're trying to actively de-escalate it, then no, you're not. It's not your fault.
But like you say, there are tools to sort of. I mean, you know, I remember when there was a fight happened, you play like
Barbie Girl.
Barbecue.
Yeah, and then everyone's
Kung Fu fighting.
Yeah.
Your Benny Hill theme song. That
basically turned into a meme.
Yeah,
which is hilarious to see people.
Which sometimes it would stop because people are like, why are we fighting?
But Barbie Girl is great. I haven't actually done Barbie Girl. That is hilarious.
No, I've seen someone do it before and it was pretty funny.
Yeah.
Someone said here, I feel like cheap drinks contribute to fights more than the music being played. Massive point.
100%. Yeah, when I used to play at an R&B bar, The fights would happen when the man there wouldn't get the tracks they want, right?
Yeah.
So you'd be playing an hour of Beyonce and Rihanna and they'd be bored.
Yeah. Forgive me if I'm wrong here though. This is like, we're speaking from a British perspective.
For sure.
We're here in the UK. Now, I feel like the music and club culture around Europe is much better. We've got a very bad approach when it comes to night. It is binge drinking. It's
it wrong. Yeah. It's a bit like dating, right? In the US, you just go for a date. In England, you get drunk for 3 hours. On a date. We don't go for coffee in the afternoon.
No.
We're out till 5 a.m.
Who do you think's responsible, guys? Is it the bar staff? Is it the DJ? Is it a bit of both? What can you do to ease tension in a club? Let us know in the comments. But yeah, I do feel for this DJ.
Yeah.
Thinking about it though, I haven't had too many lately, my sets lately, and it's probably because of the sets I'm doing, but yeah, not too much violence going on. This might be to do with,
is it the day stuff, like daytime events?
Well, I think, you know, a lot of the, let's say, commercial clubs have closed down around here, right? Where we are, so that's forced a lot of sort of niche brands or specific big headline DJ events.
Yeah.
So the big sort of 3,000 cap clubs that have a mix of students and locals have disappeared, right?
Yeah.
So then you've got these little 400 venue niche nights that are playing house garage, they're playing techno, they're playing rave. And then you've got the big warehouse clubs, you know, who have drum and bass or shack or big headline DJs on at the weekend, and that maybe the crossover is a bit less than it was, and maybe that's helping around here. Again, let us know what it's like in your area. It is time. Should we start?
Do you want to?
Have you got some comments?
Well, I've got some comments. I just thought, because I've got to leave the station.
Right.
The manning of the station. I'm going to leave. I want to help DJ Franco out
here. I'll jump on.
So I'm going to leave you two to answer this question for DJ Franco, because it's a great one. So he said, love being able to finally catch you guys live. I'm getting geared up for my biggest house festival and stuck between being safe with music that people recognize, or should I play my remixed versions?
Okay. Well, this goes on, mate, to being open format DJing, what we've been talking about. And this is kind of down to you. So what you need to do is you need to prepare for both eventualities. So you have both playlists together. You've got your your bangers, you've got your recognizable ones, you know the ones that are going to go off. Then you've got a crate of stuff that you have no idea is going to go off. Now, that stuff that you don't know is going to go off will get you like alive. It'll make you feel tingle. It'll make you feel nervous because you just don't know what's going to happen, right? And then you might just end up going through that. The crowd might react, and that's, you know, you've played new songs. You're enjoying it. They're enjoying it. You might play a couple and be like, oh, this, you know, you get your head up and this might not be working.
Yeah.
So then you just dip into the stuff that you know. And start throwing a couple of bangers. And, you know, the rule that we always teach is like two for them, one for you. Mm. So if you can play two of the bangers and then play one for you, see how that is and then reassess.
Yeah.
Goes into the open format DJing though, doesn't it? Like,
it does for sure. I think another thing you could try as well, if it's a house music festival and you're potentially thinking about remixes, is maybe try and do one drop or chorus of the original and then try the remix and see which one works better. It's worth trying.
Right. It's time for Add to Playlist.
And there he is.
If you are new to the podcast, we want to build your DJ library. This is the only the third or fourth week we played this. Yeah. And every week we're going to bring in a few tracks. And we're going to, the aim of the game is obviously to give you some new music. And also just to show you a little bit about how we sort of detect genres, and that genre, placing a genre is very difficult and it's very personal to everyone. So we're just going to talk through the songs. Me and Danny haven't heard these songs. It's Jamie's turn to bring us the tracks, and we're going to go through some now. We'll give you all the track list afterwards in our Discord and in the chat. But yeah, we've got a few tracks, and me and Danny are going to listen to them. We're going to rate them, and we're going to put them into a playlist if we like them.
Yep. Right then, are you adding this one to playlist?
Let's go. I like the sample already.
Yeah, for me, instant already.
I'm going to skip him.
Go on. Check.
Jesus.
I downloaded a remix. What is this remix called?
This remix is the Misfit Edit, so it's MSFT.
I played a version last Thursday, and I don't know if it's this one, but it was one of these samples, but yeah.
Absolutely for me.
Energy rating.
I'll put that up at 10.
Oh, out of 5.
Yeah, 10 out of 5. No, yeah, if I was playing that, I'd be, 5, peak time.
A peak, yeah. Yeah. I'm going to go 4, but right. What do you think that's in your, is that breaks?
I call it drum and bass.
Could you?
Ooh.
I would put this, not being a huge breaks fan, that felt a bit breaky.
What's the BPM?
Ooh.
The BPM is drum based BPM.
Okay.
I mean, it's like a jungly sort of bit. Yeah, like the original jungle, Adam F. Circles, isn't it?
Yeah. 174.
Yeah. Jungle is bang on. Yeah.
Jungly vibes.
Jungle. Energy rating 4. And that is, I like that.
That's in the playlist.
100%. In the playlist. It's a good start.
Yes.
Just name the song again.
So that was Adam F. Circles, the Misfit Edit, MSFT Edit.
Yep.
All right, next one. Danny, do you know this?
I love the original.
Yeah, I know this.
I'm not heard
again. I'll
edit,
skip
though.
Him.
Oh, okay. Techno calls is buzzing.
So, yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Have we not dropped
it? Play a bit longer.
Okay.
Oh.
Are you ready?
No idea.
Oh, stop.
I'm a ray of emotions. That took me on a journey. I was like, right, I'm in a techno club.
I wasn't sure where this was going to go.
What's the famous Berlin club?
Berghain.
I felt like that's where I am. But now, I'm in like South London.
Mate, this slaps.
Does slap.
Priceless then.
Yeah, this is sick.
I just want to put a vocal on.
So what
this.
Is it? Is it Polly? Rebuke Polly, yeah?
Yep.
Yeah. Or Rebuke.
Rebuke, I think, yeah.
Yeah,
so
I mean,
that
the
one was
like
Rebuke,
a...
Along Came Polly,
yeah.
The Pine D&B bootleg, free download on SoundCloud.
Banging, yeah.
I would have to put a vocal over that.
Right.
It's a bit sparse, for where I play, personally.
It's underground.
It's a bit sparse and underground.
Yeah.
To play for too long.
Yeah.
Where I would play, it would feel a bit out of place.
You definitely need a vocal track.
So, for me, but energy.
I'd say 3 or 4.
3 or 4, yeah. But I loved the journey.
Oh, yeah.
I but it went from the 4x4 kick drum.
Techno, it was techno.
Going it was into techno like for ages. Drum and bass.
Yeah.
No, I liked it, yeah.
Liked it, okay.
Yeah, okay.
Thought that one might be a bit on the fence.
It was, yeah.
At first, like the pre-drop drop was a bit on the fence, and then it dropped. I was like, oh.
I'm hoping this next one makes it into the playlist.
Right, let's go.
Because I feel like it's a banger.
Bit of Fred.
Yeah.
But let's just jump in a bit. Ooh, I'm excited by this.
You have a piece of my heart here. Oh, lead, stand up.
That's it, yeah.
Oh. Ooh, jeez. Kick me in the throat. That kick is huge.
Yeah.
They are playing this tonight.
Yeah, nice.
So anyone from the UK watching this, that electro sound is just a thing to behold.
It is.
I don't know if any other nation like loves that sound as much as we do, but
electro house sound.
Yeah. But that sound, I mean, you could put anything with that sound and it's adding to my playlist.
That and an R&B vocal is just leading it.
I've got a question here though, because we're talking about the music. So that track is actually 140 BPM.
Is it?
Yeah.
So where would you play it in your set? Because it's got the housey elements, but it's much faster.
It's much
faster. So how would you approach playing it?
Well, you're going towards your peak time because it doesn't get more energetic and electronic than like 140, unless then you go into drum and bass and the jungle.
Yeah.
For me, it's like pitching up and up from like, you know, you started bit of house, moving up to garage.
It's like a bridging song.
Yeah, then you're up to techno, and all of a sudden you can sort of think about playing drum and bass in and out if you're playing open format. I'm all over that. Who's the remix?
It is Cody Wong Rave Edit.
Nice. See, I would put that in my techno folder, for me.
Yeah.
I know it's probably...
I mean, a lot of techno is up at 140.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
so
yeah,
that's
the
thing, you are building up to your more techno. Yeah, yeah. But it's a bit more commercial, you know, because it's got the Fred again in there.
Yeah. But this is like a tester. It's like, are these into techno or not? Let's play this first. Let's see what happens.
Yeah.
Because if not, it's,
you could just have it in like a drops folder.
Yeah.
And you just know that drop is going to get people's attention.
Yeah.
Regardless of like where, if you're like in the part of your set where you need to just slam a big drop in, that's one of those drops.
It's another good technique for open format DJing is like the same song switch up, which we talk about quite a bit, where you're playing the original, and then, you know, you time the drops the exact same. You come into this one, and all of a sudden, you know, the genre's completely shifted on them. Mm. I like that.
One, 2, 3, 4.
Oh, yeah.
Come on.
Push the fucking pack off of the porch or break a pound down. Get the scrap if it happens to blow it. Make some round sounds. Push the fucking pack off of the...
I was going to let this play from the start.
Just let it go. God, there's so many samples in this.
So this bangs.
So it's got a Jay-Z sample. It's got JID surround sound is the vocal.
Yeah.
Oh my God. But it's a jungle track.
Yeah, that's big. I like that a lot.
I love that.
Jimmy's coming through this week.
He is coming through.
Big Pimpin, Jungle Edit by AJ. Yeah, Mr. AJ Adam.
AJ Adam, like,
I think just
Legend
on SoundCloud.
I'm playing that tonight in my set, guys. The hip hop vocal is JID surround sound, which was like a big tune last year. It got nominated for a Grammy. A classic sample, Jay-Z. I mean, it would be hard to play me a Jay-Z sample that wouldn't go in my playlist.
It's a big yes from me. What energy? What are you saying?
I think it's 5.
Yeah, it's up there, isn't it?
It's up there.
It's absolutely up there.
I don't have anywhere to go from there.
Yeah.
No, like, this is it.
It's a good bridge track, isn't it?
It's a good bridge, yeah.
Bridge it from hip hop. You can switch your energy vibe up.
This is what I was talking about in the R&B clubs earlier when I would like it. I'd be like, oh, just test the water with this edit. See what they're into, you know, because it's perfect.
Yeah, man.
Right, I've got two more.
Cool, let's go.
Oh, wow.
Yes, already.
We're in a different club.
Rap niggas do.
Shout out to future Mrs. Hartley who's watching as well.
So this one's a free download and apparently it was played by Clooney.
Yeah, man.
This is right up my street, this.
Yeah.
Commercial vocal. Yeah. Balearic drop. This is right in my wheelhouse.
Those like... I love like the African-inspired drums.
Yeah, yeah.
The congas and all that.
I actually spend my time trying to find a lot of this type of music that has been edited or bootlegged.
Because
it's just like...
I've got a specific folder for this kind of music. I call it Tribal House.
Yeah, Tribal, yeah.
Tribal.
Tribal, players. Yeah. 100%.
Yeah, this bangs.
I'm glad you like it. Again, it's the free download.
Yeah, it's D-Block Europe.
D-Block Europe. Yeah. Ray Casso, and it's Prada. Mareels and Z4LD edit.
Z4LD.
So,
by the way, guys,
that's a mouthful.
We will be putting a track list in our Discord later. So if you just join our Discord, search Crossfader Discord, we'll put all the track lists up in the Discord.
Yeah, it's a vibe, it's big one, isn't
it? For me, all
right, last one.
Going flying here. Last one.
Last one.
Let's go.
It's not
Let's
loading.
Go. Time in. Yeah.
There we go. Right, this is an interesting one. Let's see.
Ooh.
Ravey stab.
Oh, rave stab.
Generator.
Oh, rave generator.
Ooh, hello.
Garage drums. It's not where I thought we were going. I like that nothing happened before that. You know, just like
nice.
So this track, it's got a great synth and riff. This like ravey riff, but the only downside is it doesn't do much else.
This is it, yeah.
That's the thing. So if I skip through quickly now, have a listen.
Yeah. Initially, I quite liked it. Just came and dropped in.
Yeah.
After the second break, I won't want to get to the second break. I'll be like, I'm into my next track here.
It's a bit too repetitive and not much changes.
But, you know, daytime beach club, all day, little groover, you know. It's not really, it's a bit too heavy for like a warm-up track in a club.
Yeah, this is the kind of track that I'd play on the way to main set.
So if I was
passing off to like a main act or something, this is the kind of tune I'd play.
But I would play this in an outdoor venue, summertime,
100%,
little filler. What is that?
That is Take Me Higher by Griggy.
Griggy. We could say no to that one. Like it?
Yeah, it's all right.
It's all right. It's not great, is it?
Nah.
That was Add to Playlist. Hope you guys enjoyed that. Like I said, the track list will be in our Discord. Just search Crossfader Discord and the track list will be there. We want to build your library every week. Like we said, guys, the open format course is launched and it's out there. Thanks to everyone who is inside that course. And if you have got that course and you need any help, we're always here on the other end. If you want to get that course, just go to www.wearecrossfader.co.uk and you can get that course for a discount for Legends of This Podcast. Just use the code Off The Record and you can get 20% off the open format course. You can also get 20% off any of our DJ courses whatsoever, and there are loads and loads coming. You can also check out our complete package, which is all our courses combined for like, it's like 90% off, like all courses combined. You get 25 courses, you get access to all the courses we ever make, and you get 50 hours bonus content as well. Loads of juicy stuff. So hope you enjoyed this episode about open format DJing, and we'll be back next week. I won't be back, these two will be back.
Yep.
Next week. See you soon.